J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
That football game was great last night, but let me just tell you something. I felt like setting my clock back 1 hour, about 5:30 this morning. How you doing, kids? It's JC. It's the podcast here at jconline.com for Friday, October 29th, 2021. Scooby-Doo is just the beginning of our Halloween podcast today. We'll get to a lot more of that stuff here in just a couple of seconds, but I got to start here. This Stan Kroenke NFL story is mushrooming into something truly amazing. Let's just backtrack a little bit, okay? So Stan moves the team. St. Louis, city of St. Louis, says, hey, we're out like millions and millions of dollars, at least $20 million and probably more than that. And that doesn't even count anything punitive, okay? So, but just in terms of real, actual monetary loss, $20 million just for starters, all right? So city of St. Louis sues Stan Kroenke, and Stan Kroenke, over the course of the last couple of years, has lost every single legal challenge that was afforded to him and afforded to anybody in this situation, okay? And he just keeps losing and losing and losing, appeal after appeal after appeal, you know, procedural stuff, you know, filing motions, anything to just get this thing derailed, and he's lost every single part of this thing. And the trial is supposed to begin sometime next year, and that will happen in St. Louis, maybe. And I say maybe because just in the last, you know, maybe like 2 weeks or so, there's been these rumblings coming out of Southern California. Mr. Stan Kroenke is pissing off his fellow NFL owners. Why is that? Because part of the arrangement when he was allowed by the NFL owners to move to Southern California, they're like, okay, well, you know, there's probably going to be some sort of lawsuits flying around here, and we, as the NFL, we don't want to pay for this. He's like, all right, fine, I will indemnify you. That's one of those legal terms, indemnify, and it just basically means if there's any legal cost along the line, you have to pay it. The NFL says, we don't want to pay it. Kroenke says, okay, if there's any legal stuff, I'll pay it. Well, guess what? Last couple of days, he contacts the NFL and just basically says, I don't want to pay it. The NFL owners are like, what are you talking? By the way, there's a story this morning that Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, has made $128 million over the last 2 years, and that the majority of that pay came from bonuses. I wonder what he would have to do as NFL commissioner to get a bonus. You know, probably TV ratings and attendance and just stuff like that. But let's just remember, he's working for the owners. It's not like he's some sort of independent source and, you know, he can put a finger in the face of Jerry Jones down in Dallas and go, listen here, you can't do that. The NFL just has a commissioner because, you know, you can't have 30 guys, 30 millionaires running around all trying to execute their own thing, if you will. So you got a commissioner. So anyhow, in the last couple of days, Stan Kroenke's like, yeah, I don't think I want to pay this after all. You can't not pay it. You've agreed to it. And then somebody reminded the NFL, oh yeah, you know, Stan Kroenke has had rules in the past that he hasn't followed. So now you don't have to be a sports marketing genius to figure out what's going on here. Kroenke is saying, I don't feel like paying for this. And the NFL is like, hey, wait a minute. Hold on. What do you mean you're not going to pay for it? And now the NFL owners are mad at Kroenke. And if you remember an old civics class you took in high school, maybe in grade school, there's a thing called a trial balloon. And that's when somebody has an idea. And they're like, oh, wow, really? That's your idea? And the guy's like, no, I really think it'll work. And it's something really sort of, as you used to say, outside the box. And the people are like, oh, man, I don't know. And then they start thinking about it. And they're like, you know what? It's just crazy enough to work. Why don't we just sort of leak this out and see what the reaction is? We could always disavow it. We could always say, I don't know where that story came from. I didn't say that. But at the same time, it's out there now and people start reacting. And if people start reacting well, you're like, okay, we can actually come back and maybe do that. Congratulations. I wasn't sure at the beginning that this was a good idea, but apparently it is. Or the reaction is so terrible that they're like, forget it, come up with something else. So the NFL right now apparently floating the idea of St. Louis dropping the lawsuit in exchange for an NFL expansion team. How about that? So my first reaction is, I could see some people going for it, but let me play devil's advocate here because we've already lost two teams. What keeps this team in St. Louis? What happens? You got to get a millionaire, okay, because he's got enough money to buy an NFL franchise, an expansion team. Okay, so they put the team in here. The guy is running it, and after 5 years, he says, you know, I don't really like it here in St. Louis. And by the way, these people down in Memphis really, 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 really want a team, and they're going to build a brand new stadium for me if I will relocate, and so I'm going to go. And then we have lost three NFL teams. Watch this space. Late last night, Joel Quenneville resigning as head coach of that powerhouse NHL franchise in Miami because he was the guy coaching the Chicago Blackhawks when they had this most recent scandal that pops up about Scotty Bowman's kid being involved in the, I don't know, sexual harassment of players. It's like, whoa. So this thing has lots of tentacles that are reaching into faraway places. You know, and Quenneville, apparently, as head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, when all this stuff apparently was going on, knew about it, or at least they think he knew about it, and did not have the appropriate response. And so he's got to go, too. So he resigns last night, and this Blackhawks thing still isn't over. This has been a weird week in sports. This has been a very weird week in sports. Todd Rundgren, skipping the Hall of Fame induction, says music is not sport. And he thinks the whole institutional situation with music these days is a big crock. And so Todd says, thanks for the award, but I don't know, maybe I'll send it to the house, maybe. But I ain't going to the ceremony. And I have mixed emotions about that, too, because I was, as you'll recall, a big proponent of getting Todd Rundgren into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about 30 years too late, by the way, but better late than never, I guess. And now it's sort of like, I don't know. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and I love animals, and I despise PETA, because that's not how you do things. That's not how you win friends, and they're nuts, and to prove they're nuts again, and they've done it many, many times in the past, PETA says bullpen is insensitive to cows. And they want Major League Baseball to rename it the Arm Barn. The Arm Barn. Because you wouldn't want to piss off a cow. Because, of course, cows understand English. And they know when we say bullpen that we're talking about them and that's insensitive to them. Because, of course, they can understand that. Mike Schilt will not be going to coach the San Diego Padres, as has been speculated. That's because the Padres reportedly agreed to a 3-year deal with the Athletics manager, Bob Melvin. And you can see this coming, too. You can see this coming because I don't know what happened to him either. But, Paul DeJong started to contract Matt Carpenter's disease or something like that. And he wasn't hitting. He did not have a great year. And now we have younger, potentially more explosive guys who can play the infield, especially a shortstop. And so there's a rumor going around right now that Cardinals are going to be trading Paul DeJong. And I think it's more than a rumor. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. Okay, I think we're caught up. I think we're caught up here on the Halloween podcast at jconthelie.com.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away,
Oh, my God, Halloween night. You know, it's the one time of the year when everybody asks the trick-or-treaters the same question that Michael Jackson gets asked every day, you know? What are you supposed to be?
This miserable Earth Festival is nothing but a ritual costume fantasy for human young ones who move through the night demanding small consumables.
So the first time you hear the concept of Halloween when you were a kid, remember the first time you even heard about it? It's like, your brain can't even, what is this? Who's giving out candy? Someone's giving out candy? Who is giving out this candy? Everyone that we know is just giving out candy? I gotta be a part of this. Take me with you. I wanna do it. I'll do anything that they want. I can wear that. So the first couple of years, I made my own costume. They, of course, sucked. Ghost, hobo, no good. So I'm begging the parents, you gotta get me one of the ones from the store, the cardboard box, the cellophane top. So third year, finally got it, Superman costume. Not surprisingly. Mask included in the set. Remember the rubber band on the back of that mask? That was a quality item there, wasn't it? It was good for about 10 seconds before it snapped out of that cheap little staple they put it in there with. Thinnest gray rubber in the world. You go to your first house, trick or snap, it broke. I don't believe it.
Halloween is here, and America needs to be reminded that this is a holiday meant for children. A chance for them to dress up and get a jump start on type 2 diabetes. So this Halloween, I say parents have to dress up as adults. Halloween is a day that should be for kids because it's about scaring people with made-up stories, preferably leaked through the New York Times. Now, when I was a kid, parents understood that their role in Halloween was to be the dork in street clothes, scraping dog shit from a flaming bag of poop on their shoe. But in 2005, adults are not just dressing up. Time magazine reports that 90% of parents steal from their own kids' Halloween candy. And even worse, many parents have also dipped into their kids' pot, condoms, and ammo. Maybe it's no wonder baby boomers are regressing, turning to all types of childish pursuits for hobbies. There's adult slumber parties now, hula hoop classes, spelling bees in bars. And if you're at Disneyland and you're not 8 or dating someone who is, you'd better be on acid. I mean, it's one thing to take your kid to a kid event like Barney on Ice and act bored, because you are. That's healthy. It sends a positive signal to your child that you love them enough to endure crap. But parents who actually dig kid stuff send a different message. Dad's a loser. Nowadays, adults play video games, they trade baseball cards, they wear sneakers to restaurants, and wear their favorite player's jersey at night, hoping to get laid. Grown women play with dolls. If you're over 20 and you have a doll in your house, you better be a guy and the doll better be inflatable. Let me conclude by citing that great scholar, Harriet Myers. In her correspondence to George Bush, where she stated that her fondest wish for him was that his children would think him cool. Who gives a if your kids think you're cool? You have nuclear weapons! This year, let's get the adults out of Halloween so it can be enjoyed by the people it was really meant for in the first place, the gays.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle.
Hello, I'm Eve. I'm Crazy Big Eyed Man. I want some candy. Give some candy to Crazy Big Eyed Man. My eyes are too damn big for my head. Now give me the candy.
Well, Halloween is over for most people. Here with her review on this year's Halloween is Drunk Girl.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, you guys. This year I was Catwoman. Meow. Because all my other costumes are currently being used as evidence. What are you guys dressed as? Local news, blues. Anyway, I thought this Halloween could have been a lot better for a lot of reasons, but then I forgot all of them, but now I remember like two of them. Number one, There should be more variety in the treats people give to you. It's always Snickers and candy corn and Reese's Pieces and peanut butter pieces. And out of all the houses I went to, not one of them gave me a grilled cheese sandwich. Which is what I really wanted. No! And I gotta say something to Phil. Phil, I'm sorry I didn't come to your party, but you didn't call my cell phone. Make sure you call another right number. And I thought it's Stacy. And when they went into the thing they do and they wanted to do, bottom line, you don't even know me.
You know, if I told you that there was a Saturday Night Live cast member by the name of Jeff Richards, you'd say, I don't remember any guy like that. It's like, I think he was only with the show a year or two, never really made a mark, but he did that bit, which I still think is absolutely hilarious. There you go, from Saturday Night Live here on the J.C. Corcoran Podcast Halloween Edition at jcontheline.com. Speaking of SNL.
What are the things I like most about Halloween? Is that babes always wear costumes that make them look really excellent. All right? Okay? So Garth and I have compiled a list of the top 10 excellent babe costumes. Top 10 excellent babe costumes! Okay, all right, okay.
Okay.
Okay,
here we go.
All right, the number 10 excellent babe costume is going as a cat. All right?
Meow.
Form-fitting cat suits. Papa likes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 9 is a nurse.
Yes. Call Randy Mantooth.
Rampart, I need help. Okay. All right. Number 8, Nancy Culp, who played Miss Hathaway on TV's The Beverly Hillbillies.
Ew, Miss Hathaway?
Yeah, well, I just sort of put her in there to clear the palate, you know? Sort of like, you know, like a chick sorbet, you know? So, appreciate the other ones. All right, number 7, Pebbles Flintstone, all right? Bam, bam.
All right.
All right, number 6, an Indian girl. Okay, all right.
All right. Sounded real.
Yeah, got me scared. All right. Okay, number 5, a baseball player. You know, there's something about when a girl dresses like a baseball player because in her attempt at masculinity, that which is woman is underscored.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay, number 4, private school girl.
Whoa, those plaid skirts.
Ow! Ow!
Whoa.
Ow!
Whoa.
All right, okay. Number 3, French maid. All right. Whoa, there we go. May we. All right. Okay, number 2, Playboy Bunny. I am thanking you. And finally, the number 1 excellent babe costume. Going is Heather Locklear.
Yeah. Yeah. She's magically babelicious.
She's a babeaholic, and I should know I'm a licensed babetician. All right.
Right.
Dana Carvey and Mike Myers from Saturday Night Live, and I was trying to think of another day out of the entire 365 days of the year where the name Frankenstein might come up. Obviously, one is Halloween, and the other one is anytime you play the song by the Edgar Winter Band.
Hello?
Edgar.
Yes.
J.C. Corcoran.
J.C. Corcoran. I'm doing great, thank you.
There was almost something melodic about the way you said my name. So back in 1972, I think that's when a lot of people really became aware of you, even though you had had an entire career up until that point. And you had a song like, let's start with Frankenstein. And that song really does get treated almost as a Halloween song. When you guys put that together and recorded it, was it in fact intended to be mystic or in some way Halloween-y?
Not in the least. We completely forgot about the song for years. We played it at Woodstock. We played it at Albert Hall. And with the advent of the synthesizer, like the Beatles, were using Mellotrons. But as far as I know, Frankenstein was the first song to feature the synthesizer as a lead instrument. I love those old sci-fi movies like Forbidden Planet that had theremin and primitive synthesizers.
Oh, a theremin.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
That's the one, JC. And so my whole approach was, this is a brand new instrument. Let's see if we can create, you know, new, unusual, unique sounds that no one has ever heard before. But we had no intention of recording the song, and we just called it the instrumental. It was like 15 or 20 minutes long. And when we recorded our first album, They Only Come Out at Night, it was naming the song Frankenstein that sort of precipitated the title of the album. We thought Free Ride would probably have the best chance of being a hit. It was toward the end of the project, and back in those days, recording was very different. There was nobody looking over your shoulder. I was talking to Rick Derringer, and he said, hey, maybe we could edit that into something, you know, that would be usable. I felt like the strength of the Edgar Winter Group lay in the co-writing between Dan Hartman and myself, and as I said, we really believed in Free Ride. I said, it's a crazy idea, but I love crazy ideas. So back in those days, the only way to edit something was to physically cut the master tape. It was in pieces, lying all over the control room, you know, draped over the backs of chairs and on the recording console and all over the couch. And then Chuck Ruff, the drummer, mumbled the immortal words, wow, man, it's like Frankenstein. And Rick said, well, there's your title. And I said, I don't know if I want to be associated with the Frankenstein monster. And I thought about it a little. I said, well, actually, I'm like the mad doctor, you know, and then the song is Frankenstein, the monster creation. So, the imagery of it, just like when you hear the song, you can see Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know. There was no intent of that, but it really is, you know, the perfect title. So the monster was born.
Edgar Winter, just an absolute pleasure to reminisce and talk about some of the old songs and talk about what you're doing now. And best of luck to you, and thanks for all the great music over the years.
You are most welcome, JC. Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
The pride of Beaumont, Texas right there, Edgar Winter. We thank him for that conversation. And that's it. Your Halloween edition of the podcast here at jcontheline.com is in the can. We are here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. You can binge listen to any of these things because we archive them all. And you can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Back on Monday morning. Enjoy your weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Back.
JC Corcoran Podcast.